Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 82 of Utopia to Me, with me, your host, Chris Locke. How's it going? Freezing rain out there in Toronto right now. That's what I'm looking at out my window. Freezing rain. It's everyone slipping and sliding everywhere. Trees are falling down and hitting their head. So we're putting yellow construction helmets on top of the trees so that, they don't slip and slide. Isn't that nonsense? How you doing? Where are you? What are you doing? Are you excited for this episode? It's going to be a good one, because let me tell you, the guest, been trying over the years to get him on. We always miss it, but we got him this time. Andrew Johnson, hilarious stand-up comedian Andrew Johnson, and used to be star of Much Music's Video on Trial, amongst other things. Used to be the producer of, still producing, the hit Buddies in Bad Times comedy show Bitch Salad, the creator and host of that. Super funny guy, and a member of Laugh Sabbath, which, as most listeners know, Laugh Sabbath is every Thursday at the Comedy Bar in the Cabaret Space. So it's Andrew, and we had a great time. I went over to his place, and we had laughs, we had tea, and we've learned so much about each other, even more than we already know, and it was really fun. So you guys are going to love it. And take it easy out there. If you're listening to this and there's wherever you are, there's freezing rain. Hey, maybe you're in Egypt, you know, when you're underneath the nose, the fallen nose hole of the Sphinx. And then all of a sudden freezing rain happens there. I don't know what the weather's doing these days in the world. You could be anywhere and the weather will catch you for a surprise, wouldn't it? Isn't it crazy? This kind of like things are a little wonky, huh? They say that it's the world is changing its weather. But here's my thing about that I'm just making up right now, and don't hold me to this opinion. Then what? I don't know. What else? Okay, we're going to float everywhere and we're going to die? Okay, great. That's kind of a negative intro to Andrew's lovely episode. We had a lot of fun chatting. Hey, if you're listening, send me a message on at Utopia to Me on Twitter and tell me what you think the actual end result of climate change will be. Is it just that we die like a roasted fish in acid? Or do we the lucky few of us take a spaceship to Mars and smoke a joint? Here it is. We're going to get into this one. This is episode 82. Super fun chat with Andrew Johnson. Hilarious man. Here we go. You're going to dive in right now. Enjoy.
I've done all these podcasts.
They're not expensive.
With people using their phones and shit. And I'm just like, well, this is a waste of my time. So,
well, where are those podcasts?
I'm not going to check them on yes, they do.
Someone says, do my podcast, then they hold just their phone up to your mouth.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway.
I've never done that.
Anyway.
But I've done the Room mic, which I'm still a bit like, nervous about.
Well, because that's like this, right? It's just like having this apparatus on, and then
this is the Zoom H4n. Yeah, but we're using mics attached to it. It's not just set up. I did it once when I had two people on the same time, and I feel like throughout that podcast it was good, it was fine, but I was apologizing for that.
It's echoey. Probably, yeah. It sounds like someone's wearing a wire.
Yeah, you can hear the ceiling. Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like we're about to bust someone.
Yeah, it's a sting.
Yeah. So that voice you're hearing is Andrew Johnson. That's our guest today.
Hey, Chris. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for having me in your basement.
Yes.
Apartment, which is really nice. And I'm going to tell you something. We're by Broadview in Toronto, and across the street is Chester Hills. Have you seen that street?
Yes.
I lived in a house there when I was a baby.
Did you?
Yeah, for a couple years.
Oh, my God. Why did you ever move?
My parents got divorced.
Oh. Because the thing about Broadview is...
And it was beyond my control in those days.
Okay. All right, I see.
I wasn't like, this neighborhood sucks.
Yeah, you should... Well, it doesn't. It's, Broadview, because the view is very broad. You can see the entire city from here. It's wonderful.
You know what? This is the one memory I have from that house. The backyard went on a hill down towards the Don Valley Parkway, which is a highway for people not in Toronto listening. And
In a valley.
In a valley, and it's a long drop.
It is.
And I had a sort of Hot Wheels school bus toy. Everyone wanted the school bus from Hot Wheels. But anyways, I had that, and I, as a kid, I threw it down there. And my parents were like, why'd you do that? Probably.
Wow.
Why'd you do that? You know, I was like super, super little. And I was like, I literally don't know. Maybe I'm psychotic.
For any like geology heads listening, it is a very geological anomaly within the city of Toronto, because it's just this massive valley. It's this massive drop in an elevation, like in an erstwhile plateau that is Toronto. And it really separates the city. It really does,
into two tribes, basically.
People when I say that I live at Broadview, they think that I'm super east. I am three subway stops from Yonge and Bloor, which is the epicenter, the intersection of all of Toronto. And for all those fashionistas,
for everyone coming to Toronto, that's where Holt Renfrew is.
And but everyone thinks that I live really east. And the thing that compounds that is there's just this bridge, the Don Valley Aqueduct or whatever. And because I will never be a pedestrian. I will never walk along that, because I always feel like I'm walking alongside a highway or something,
after a show at that place down the street. What's it called?
Black Swan. The Black Swan, starring Natalie Portman.
It's not a beautiful venue, but it's
I don't know. Anyway, whatever. It feels
here's another interesting thing about the bridge that goes across. Is it the Davenport Bridge? Is that what it's called?
I think it's the Don Valley Bridge.
Don Valley Bridge. They keep building the fences higher and higher because people love to commit suicide off of it.
It would be a ripe place to commit suicide.
They jump right onto the highway where cars are coming.
Want to do that. I remember listening to do you ever listen to Fresh Air with Terry Gross? Very mild-mannered but very intellectual Terry Gross. She's an NPR interviewer.
We listen to so much stuff. We were just talking about that before this started. We should get into that for a second.
Yeah. Well, anyway, she was talking to someone whose parent committed suicide by flinging themselves out of a building, and Terry Gross just went really deep into it, and she was like, and she has this very soft voice, this very earnest NPR voice, and she was like, it strikes me that that would be the most horrible way to go, because as you're doing it, you can think, you could reconsider your decision on your fall down, and also dread the impact. So that I was like, fuck Terry. Yeah. Oh wow. I'd never thought about that.
Happens
Terry.
Most of the time.
How would you know? Apparently.
Well, because
bounced.
Here's a weird way of hopefully knowing. Hopefully this writer did their research. But Kathleen and I, she was doing an audition for a role. I guess she didn't get it because it was a while ago. But that's okay. She gets lots of roles. That's my
wife.
She
does. You guys work.
Yeah, we work. She works. And then her role was a person that was an expert at talking people out of jumping. So shouldn't have said this.
Those hostage negotiators, negotiators. Yeah.
And some of the dialogue in the script, so this is not from a book, this is from a script written for a TV show. But the woman, the character is, she used to work in San Fran because of Golden Gate. And there are survivors there. And pretty much 90% of the survivors say as soon as they jumped, they regretted it.
Well, because you would have all the time to whoa, fuck, I shouldn't have done this. Yeah. Oh, fuck, now I'm going to die.
You jump and then be like, I want chips. No,
it's going to be pills for me, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
What about pills and jump?
No, I'm not. I'm never going to jump. No. No, and you know what?
The worst suicide negotiator. You know, what about, do you take some pills and jump?
Converse, I know that chair sucks. You almost fell backwards.
It was, I have such a bad back because I'm fat, and then I almost died leaning back. No. And it was fine.
Well, anyway,
my back's
plane
not
crashes,
that bad.
Too. Plane, like, that would be a terror. Like, that would be, a longer version of,
Do you want to hear something weird that I think about with planes crashing?
What?
So I saw this, Bugs Bunny cartoon many years ago, many moons ago, and pretty sure it was Bugs Bunny. He's falling in a house that's falling from the sky, and his perfect solution to not smashing when he hit the ground was, as soon as the house was about to connect with the ground from its long descent, he opens the door and takes a casual step out.
I know, I've seen that. Yeah. Now
I always think
it,
I can
I
do that with an airplane.
Well, yes.
So as the airplane's going down, right when it's about to hit, I jump out of the airplane and just roll on the grass.
I think you'd need to have really like
insanely powerful legs.
No, but like timing too. Like you'd need to have a real background.
Hey,
in
I'm a comedian, and timing is everything.
You know what it is? Oh my god! Do you know that? Like, I went to go and see Kathleen Turner give a talk on her life a few years ago, and I asked the first question. Oh, you know Kathleen Turner, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, I don't know.
Well, do you want to hear my...
Well, no, because I would like to finish this story, and then you can just put a pin in that. But, so, she opened the floor up for, like, a Q&A afterwards, and I
was
the first question.
That was what I was going to say.
Virgin, yes. Oh, were you in that?
No, Mac Lorenz was, but thanks
That's
for confusing
That's right, he was. Oh, my God, because I remember that movie was shot
Hi,
in
Mac.
Toronto. Oh, my God. That's right. Oh, Kathleen Turner.
I would love to be in it. I had a crush on
Kathleen Turner?
Still have a, no, but
Kirsten
I really
Dunst?
Liked her in that movie. Because that was post, like, being a sort of, like...
She has had a very interesting career trajectory. In her book, Send Yourself Roses, which I have right over there that I could give to you. Because I'm trying to get rid of stuff, too. So if you want it,
dude,
you can just take
I
it.
Have,
Kathleen would like
I
it, too.
I got to tell you something I was
her
writing
Her namesake.
Kathleen well, maybe I could. Oh, maybe she would, yeah.
But so she...
See,
like,
I ended up distracting you from your story. Anyways.
I know. Okay, so she... But Kathleen Phillips. Kathleen Turner started off as like a vixen, and it was just kind of like... She just kind of fell into it and was like, all right, I'll do this
film.
Yeah,
Virgin Suicide is
post-vixen. Sounds interesting, but now I want to do something different because I'm an actor. I'm an actor's actor. And then she, you know, she also came down with like a really severe case. I don't know if there are like... like fluctuations in severity of cases of rheumatoid arthritis, but anyway, and so then that became her. She became like really bloated off of like drugs and pills and stuff
That's
like that.
What it was.
And then she, but she doesn't have like it's not like she's Sharon Stone who is just like I'm a vixen. I only play vixens.
Yeah,
Kathleen Turner wants to do it all. So yeah, so she was like very vixeny like in the 80s, and then she moved into like interesting character actress parts and stuff.
Have you
like
ever
that.
Seen The Man with Two Brains, the Steve Martin movie?
I haven't. Is she in that?
Yeah. And you should see it for her role because you would love it.
Okay.
She's brutally evil.
I just, on my cue
but
to watch,
evil.
I need to watch Night Shift with Michael Keaton and
no,
Shelley
Keaton,
Long
yeah.
because that's the one Shelley Long film that is in my Shelley Long blind spot because I've
seen never
everything
seen that
else
one.
By Shelley Long.
I was a Shelley Long fan as a kid.
Have you seen Troop Beverly Hills?
A billion times. My sister loved it. And so
oh, it's the best movie ever.
Remember when you were a kid? And or did you have siblings?
Yes.
Yeah, you guys would just watch whoever picked the movie. Like you didn't. Have-
yeah, I have a younger brother who like I governed, I curated entirely his taste, and he's very straight and like he's like a Burning Man kind of like tech junkie.
Oh, really?
And, like, yeah.
Where does he live?
He lives like Davenport, Nuzzington.
Really?
Yeah, he lives in Toronto. I know. Yeah, I never see him.
Oh, that's close to where Kathleen and I used to live.
Yeah.
So both of you guys escaped. You're from a small town. You both escaped.
Yes, we were both from Brockville, Ontario.
Brockville, God.
Yeah.
Perfect small town name.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Yeah, but when you had siblings, it's like you just ended up liking the same, like,
well,
a huge myriad of styles of movies.
I
like, especially in the VHS era, right?
Yes.
Troop Beverly Hills was a VHS that was in our rec room a lot.
Yes. I also had it on because we had a satellite dish growing up, and so we had it on pay-per-view, I believe. That's where I saw it for the first time when I was quite young.
Pay-per-view.
Yes. So on one of those like Showtime, like not Showtime, but like
Did you grow
Cinemax.
Up in a big house in Brockville?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, it's pretty spacious. It's in the country.
I feel like big houses in the smaller towns.
Yeah. We had
got
a pool
more,
and
when
stuff.
When satellite
yeah.
TV even more than
well, because
cities
we
sometimes.
We lived like it's
you
really annoying
it, right?
in Brockville because we live basically or my parents, well, whatever. My childhood home is on the outskirts of town, like it's like 5 minutes into town, but like it's just on the outskirts of town where we couldn't get cable, or when like the Ethernet came into being, we couldn't get like IBSN or whatever, or like we couldn't get high speed internet.
So irritable was, bowel
there was like
syndrome
they had
TV.
Like dial up until like 2010. Yeah, we couldn't get IBS, which was fortunate, like living in the country, but so we had to get a satellite. So this is like a weird thing with me. In terms of my like cultural upbringing in Canada is that I never watched Canadian television.
Yeah.
Like I never watched much music when it was apparently good. Like when Strombolopoulos and Sookie and Lee were on it.
Like late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, I never watched
That's
it
when
then.
I
never watched the Comedy Network because I had Comedy Central. So like I watched things like Strangers with Candy, which no one in Canada watched. And like
Until
I would
later,
get
DVD.
Yeah. Well, obviously they could, you know, discover whatever. But like at the time I was like able to watch that and I would watch VH1 one, so I remember RuPaul's original talk show. Like, I remember watching that, and I like Carson Daly and TRL and stuff. And so I think that that's also why I have like a rather neutral inflection in terms of like accent wise.
I think. Do you think that you buried yourself in these shows because you were isolated out there?
Well, yeah, I was a big TV. Well, I was also like homosexual growing up in a town of 20.
Well, I was kind of inferring that as well. Yeah. Like you feel isolated for various reasons, and so you live vicariously through like all these crazy
shows.
Yeah, sure,
of course, yeah. Cool. Who doesn't? Even popular cheerleaders do, I think.
No, I
when they're not.
I was raised by TV big time.
Yeah. What were your like favorite? What were your seminal shows?
You know what? I was talking to Kathleen about this the other day, but I think I watched Roseanne way more than I've acknowledged over the years. And now that it's coming back, I'm like, I know everything about Roseanne.
Yeah.
I thought she, I think, you know, I really related to Dan, and I really enjoyed.
Oh, I can see why. Ugh. John Goodman, Chris Locke, birds of a feather.
Is that sarcastic?
No, it's, did it look sarcastic?
Oh, okay. I don't know. I can't tell.
Did you see the tears welling up in my eyes of pride?
But Roseanne was genuinely super funny. And I guess
it was a genius,
I didn't know this at the time, but Norm MacDonald wrote on the show.
Yeah.
Who's funny as hell, obviously, and I look up to. This is why, because I haven't seen it yet, but Kathleen has, but Aunt Jackie is a co-star of Lady Bird.
I just watched that.
And apparently
that,
she kills it.
She does.
And I love her as an actor because
she should have gotten the Golden Globe over Allison Janney for sure.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, this is okay, I want to get into this too. But let me just finish this about what's her name again?
Kathleen Turner?
No,
I didn't finish
Aunt
my
Jackie.
Story about Kathleen Turner. Basically, I asked Kathleen Turner what her secret to doing comedy was, and she went, "Ask me that question again." I said, "What is your secret to doing comedy?" And before I could finish, she went, "Timing." Anyway, and so that was what happened. It was amazing. Yeah.
That's what this podcast is all about. We digress and then come back.
Sure, yeah.
But you're really good at that. That was great. Thanks for wrapping that up.
I was just thinking, like,
people
listening at home,
do you remember
like,
what we started?
I'd be like, what is the fucking Kathleen Turner story, faggot? And I would just be like, and I would have never finished
big,
it.
Angry bigots are listening.
And then there you go. And there would have been so many gay men who would have just been like, oh, never again. Anyway.
I'm sorry. No, I'm jacked up. Off of fucking green tea.
Hopped
green
up
tea
on
makes
hop-
me insane.
Green, yeah. Well, tea is very caffeinated. I only drink tea. I was saying to you on your way here, I was like, if you want a coffee, get one because I don't keep it in the house.
And I'm trying to not do black tea in the morning, so I did matcha green tea in the morning instead of black tea.
I do black tea in the
morning.
And
matcha is like fucking motorcycle to the brain. It's
is
crazy.
It?
Yeah. Now I forgot what I wanted to say. Aunt Jackie. Not only did I
Laurie
watch
Metcalf.
Roseanne after school all the time. Laurie Metcalf, but she plays that funny neighbor in Uncle Buck.
I know,
which is
Marcy.
Which was also a VHS that I
Uncle
threw
Buck.
On every week.
Because you know Sarah Hennessy, our good friend Sarah Hennessy, you know, like her, when she was a teen, her parents would call her Tia because she was like petulant, like Tia in Uncle Buck, who was like the most petulant of like the
totally
bitchy
sense.
Older sister 80s movie trope.
Yeah, she nailed it. And my nickname growing up, here's a weird coincidence. Because Sarah and I dated a million years ago.
I know.
And
I know all about the ins and
outs. So her parents called her Tia. Guess what my nickname was when
Buck?
I was little? Bug.
Bug?
Which was the name of her boyfriend in Uncle Bug.
He wasn't her boyfriend. It was the guy who wanted to rape her.
He was
at
a jerk.
Bowling alley.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was nicer to her.
Who had like a toothpick or whatever.
No. Bug was the boy from high school.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, it was. You're right. Because he was like, do you know how to skin a gnat? Okay. With the, yes. Oh, what was the fucking
And he's like, what's your last name? Spray?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bug.
And then he hits him with the golf ball.
Oh my God. Bug and Tia. You guys were such a Bug and Tia.
But Bug still. Well, he wasn't the rapist from the bowling alley, but he
I
was the,
what that guy's name
but
was.
He was cruel to her at the party. Remember, he ditched her to go have sex
and then
with another
he had another he fucked another girl to Young MC's Bust a Move.
I know,
and
best soundtrack too.
Buck I remember like
rap was just
that
blowing
kid,
up
when I was
Uncle
like
Buck.
I can't wait to go to all those parties.
Yeah.
When I can't wait to go to all those parties where they're playing kid where everyone has a kid and play haircut and they're drinking out of like travel cups and they're fucking
and Uncle Buck takes
Uncle
your fedora
Buck
off
he takes my fedora off and threatens me with a hatchet.
I watched that movie 5 million times. Yeah,
it's great. Yeah. Well, and then if you watch it like again, well, like there are all these movies that I watched as a kid that I've revisited in years since, and I just there's just a whack of innuendos that you miss. Like in Uncle Buck, I'm just thinking when that guy who we should, yeah. I have it right over there, actually. I'm pretty sure. Again, you can have it if you want. I need to get
rid of
stuff.
I have it on
stuff.
DVD. Yeah. But I haven't watched it in so long. Yet.
But
I have it
at that bowling alley, when the rapey guy with the toothpick is hitting on Tia, she says, I have a sore throat. And he says, I got a cure for that. I don't know. When I was a kid thinking like, dime a tap, and know what he was saying is suck my dick.
Yeah.
Now,
I knew that.
And that's just clear as day now. Yeah. But at the time. And so there are just all these things.
Yeah. I don't think I got that as a kid, but I got a bit later. Yeah. You're right.
You got it a bit later. I got it when I wanted everyone to sexualize so early.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about a bunch of your accomplishments before getting to your utopia. But since you talked about the you threw shade at what's her name at the fucking Golden Globes, this is something that you've been doing on stage recently. Because you're a great stand-up. If you guys are listening for some reason, you don't know Andrew Johnson, great stand-up from Much Music's Video on Trial. What else do you? All kinds of stuff. Touring around, Just for Laughs. We did Just for Laughs together.
We did. Yes, we did.
The Homegrown in
2013. That was so miserable. God.
I had fun, but I wish I
won.
No,
you did not have fun, bitch.
Well, I was stressed.
You did not have fun. I was there at your warm-up set.
There was fun and there was stress.
I was there at your warm-up set.
The warm-up sets are always bad.
Well, mine aren't. And...
Oh, shit.
Literally every single
But you filmed that one this year, right?
I did, yeah. So. And my warm-up set was amazing for that, I remember.
And then how'd the film go?
No one set fire to the rain that night. You know how those tapings are. It was at 10:30 and it was like a very provincial crowd.
Yeah, you gotta work hard at
this. What happened right before my taping was a fucking nightmare. I was wearing like a light blue denim shirt and khakis, and makeup always takes forever with me because
like
I just
dressed
like
me
a big,
that night.
I was really trying to be neutral and butch. Anyway, but
am I butch?
And neutral. Oh, anyway, no, you're not. No. You're quite colorful.
Look, I wore a fuchsia colored hoodie the other day, and I went out for lunch with Tom Henry and Ian Gordon, and Tom goes, that's quite the statement.
That sounds like something that Tom would say and something that he would observe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, we talked clothes together.
Yeah. But he's very stylish as well.
He's stylish.
He's very
as well.
Deliberate.
So you're saying I'm kind of stylish?
Yes, you are. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my God, they're like you. Yeah, on the spectrum
from Andrew,
of male
I'm
comedians.
Excited about
that. For sure.
Thank you very much.
So you're all dressed up. Basically, what happened was khakis. I was in makeup. I got in the makeup chair at like 9:40, and she just makeup. If makeup have its way, it will take forever with me because I just have like a lot of wide planes to play with. Like I've just got like a face that can take a lot of makeup, and so it took like really. I was like, we need to wrap this up because I'm on second and I need to get changed and stuff, and I kind of want like at least 3 minutes to kind of whatever. And so I went into the bathroom to get changed, and it those bathrooms have showers too. So someone had just freshly showered. I don't know what, some fucking mime that was in there, some Quebecois. A mime in there for an earlier performance, probably.
Would they shower with real water though?
Yeah, so there were water spots all over the floor, so my outfit fell on the floor, and it's fucking blue denim.
God.
So it got water spots all over it. This is 5 minutes before I'm supposed to go on, so I go into the makeup room. Every single person had like a hair dryer on me, like over. I had like 8 spots on my front, like not to mention my back. Anyway, and so I'm like, so the doo-wops or whoever are next need to, or after me need to go on next because I'm not going to be ready. And they're like, can we, blah, 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 blah. Okay, that can't happen. I'm like, well, okay. So I was just like, I'm so fucked up. I fucked this up. Anyway, by the grace of God, the brutal fucking American guy who was on first and supposed to do 5 minutes did 15.
Whoa.
Yeah, because he was just trying to go out
but
on a laugh.
But not the host. He's just the...
No, not Birbiglia, who was very nice.
Okay.
And so he told me I had a good set afterwards, and I don't think he told that to everyone. But anyway, there was just like this American guy, one of those things where like the manager or whatever says, all right, I'll give you X name if you take like this new person that I signed, whatever.
Yeah.
So it was like that. And he did like 15 minutes before me. And if he did not go 10 minutes over time, I think I got up there with 1 minute to spare. And then I went out and I knew the set like robotically at that point. It was fine. But like the tapings, I don't know, like, are they ever amazing?
Both of mine I felt good. And then I never want to watch them, and I never really promote
them.
God,
I would never want to watch them just because...
Like, they look different when they hit the TV anyways. They don't like the audience.
I'll be very honest. I've seen... What's up?
But I would love to do it anytime.
Of course. My God, yeah. No, I mean, fuck yeah. No, I did not care for how it was lit. Like, from the clips that I've seen shared, I'm like, I'm not looking forward to what I'm going to look like with
It'll be great.
So,
you're going to blow up.
But I know the reason that I wouldn't want to watch that is because I'm so sick of that material. Like, right, it would just, it would seem like me like reciting like the Lord's Prayer or something, you know, where it's just kind of like the words don't mean anything. And so I wouldn't, that's why I wouldn't want to watch it. But anyway, I hope that it, I hope it blows up like Deanne Smith at the Winnipeg Comedy Fest.
Did hers blow up?
Yeah. Oh, it got like 21 million views or something.
Jeez Louise. Yeah. That's Deanne amazing.
Smith in a hoodie and a bow tie.
She
can't go wrong.
She hasn't done this podcast yet.
No. Well, maybe she can be lucky number 80 fucking four or
what
whatever.
The hell? Whoever, see, I know. Are you bitter about?
No,
takes
I learned that though, because we had, no, we had talked about doing this like.
That's the thing. This is a very loose, slapdash affair.
I'm busting your chops.
This podcast mostly, and for those of you who listen, because people like this podcast,
yes.
And so you know, sometimes it doesn't come up for a month. An episode doesn't come out for a month. This, I got to say to you and everybody, this whole podcast relies on my memory. You know what I'm saying? It's brutal.
I wanted to say
to you, this is what I've been liking about, this is something I really like that you do in your act right now, talking about the Golden Globes thing, is you get an audience member to yell out a celeb.
I've only done that like literally at shows you've been at. Like, I don't do that. That's not a thing
it's
that I
do. It's good though. Yeah, okay, no, well, let's explain it though.
Sure.
You ask the audience to yell out any celeb.
No, female celeb.
Female celeb.
I usually preface
it by... And you instantly, lightning quick speed, know a... Like, I call it beef. What would you say? Oh, shade or drama
it's premised with another person. It's always premised on the fact that I don't know anything about sports, but what I bring to the party is I can tell you what female celebrity hates any other female celebrity.
Can I try one right now?
Sure.
Scarlett Johansson.
I'm going to say Natalie Portman. I think that Natalie Portman's been subtly shading her with the whole Time's Up movement, because Scarlett Johansson is so inextricably tied to Woody Allen. She's one of Woody Allen's muse. An apologist. She's kept a very low profile in wake of all of this, despite the fact that she did speak at the Women's March. I'm just going to think that they're up for several. I think that they've had run-ins in the audition room before. I think that they're both, you know, directors would bring in one. They're going to bring in the other to see if they want a blonde or brunette option. And I think that that's fostered some animosity.
Wow. See, that's not 100% based on facts. That's the first time I've seen you hypothesize about it, but it still seems wholly plausible.
Well, I mean, there
are like, you knew so many facts that connect them that it probably is true.
You know, it's much easier with like music personalities.
I don't know that. Oh, let me, what about SZA?
Oh, probably no one.
Not yet, like, right? Not yet. Okay.
I, you know, if I needed to go out on a fucking limb, I don't know, fucking Solange. I think she probably resents Solange kind of stepping on some of her stead. I don't know.
Or maybe Solange resents her.
Yeah, well, Solange, Jay-Z, you know, obviously, but he's not a
chick. I loved that Solange album, and I'm not a big like R&B guy, but I love that album.
Sure, yeah. Who knew? She certainly had a very low bar of expectation to cross. That's for sure.
Didn't she punch Jay-Z or something?
She kicked, punched, like freaked out on him in an elevator, and Beyonce just stood there like a mannequin. And I was like, oh, "You're something's going on with you."
Here's another thing that let's talk about just before we get into your utopia. If we ever get to it, I don't even care. The thing is we were talking about this just before I hit record, but you listen to Pod, what is it?
Pod Save America.
Pod Save America and like all these.
All the crooked media podcasts. So Pod Save America.
So you said you would be a Politico at this point.
I think so. I think that I'm pretty.
So let's just get your hot take now that this is hot right now.
The 2020?
Oprah Winfrey.
I think that it's entirely, if she wants to do it, she'll have it. Like, it's all about like whether or not she wants to do it. And I was saying to you off camera that I do off the record that
no, there's a camera that planted over my head there. No,
yeah, we're just like looking at imaginary camera ones and camera twos right now. But so I think that the future of American politics could be something like Game of Thrones, where there is a sort of figurehead elected royalty and then a hand of the king who does all the actual policy making and stuff. So
wasn't that always kind of the case?
No.
They're just slowly moving into...
I mean, people would assemble a qualified cabinet, I think. I mean, Barack Obama was only a junior senator when he got elected, and George W. Bush wasn't exactly, you know... he didn't have like the expertise of like Joe Biden or something like that. But like Hillary Clinton was definitely the most qualified political candidate ever. Like she had served in so many different levels of office. Yeah. She knew things inside and out. She could have actually gotten things done. And Donald Trump just
Are you a big Clinton head?
Yeah, sure.
But what about...
I saw her live.
I'm not a Politico.
Yeah.
So what... Oh, you did?
I did. I saw her live.
Did you ask her what's the secret of her comedy?
Yeah, I wish. No, there were like 100,000 people there. It was during... I remember it was during JFL 42 and I remember like tweeting.
I think
I was like...
my sister went
to that. My favorite headliner, JFL 42 headliner, has definitely been Hillary Clinton because she sort of did stand up at it. She came out and did like a 15-minute kind of like... half jokey like solo
like losing the race
of and like you know like a speech like a monologue
losing the election
anyway
what about the insider thing with Wall Street? Doesn't that sour it a bit?
Like the thing with
I agree with you.
I remember very distinctly having a very intuitive feeling at one point being like, she's got too much baggage. Just like the thing with Hillary Clinton that's really unfortunate is that she made the right decision at the time that ended up being the wrong decision in hindsight. Like she stayed with Bill in the 90s and people were like, why did she stay with him? That she should have lit his clothes on fire and snort like waiting to exhale or something. And it's like, well, no, back in the 90s, like that
she
wasn't
should
really...
have waited to exhale.
Yeah, she should have waited to exhale. Like Angela Bassett. And have you ever seen them?
Yeah.
Okay.
So... No, I get them mixed up. I get it mixed up with Stella Got Her Groove Back.
Well, okay. I was like about to say, what are you going to say here? Are you going to say like Precious? Like those are just like, they have black women in them. They're very
No, I'm
movies.
Not.
Yeah.
Well, no, but... I'm not racist about it. I just, that genre
sure,
is not
yeah.
my forte.
Yeah, like, yeah, like, yeah, just women getting theirs. That genre of like, yeah sisters are
they
doing
are similar,
it for themselves.
Aren't they? Well, I mean, Stella Got Her Groove Back
I'm
is her
sure
just banging
your,
a dude on a vacation,
from
right?
From your vantage point, yeah. Well, no. Waiting to Exhale is about like four female
no,
friends
but,
who are all going through crossroads at their lives. And
so
like,
does one bang a hot
self-actualization,
guy?
Whereas how Stella Got Her Groove Back was more of kind of like a middle-aged, like it was kind of like an Eat, Pray, Love sort of thing.
But are they
like,
both Angela Bassett?
Yes, Angela Bassett started
See?
Both of them, yes. And Whitney Houston
her.
Was
she
in
was
Waiting
great.
To Exhale.
She was hot in the 90s, I'll tell
she
you.
She still is.
Yeah.
She's still holding up remarkably well.
Right.
Yeah. I'm always so resentful. This is me meeting you halfway here that she turned down Storm and X-Men. Like I'll never that would be
really?
My utopia is
meeting
is,
me halfway.
Is fun. Yeah, well X-Men
just
you've
assuming
obviously
that I'm
seen,
a nerd
yeah.
ass
well,
shithead.
Well,
I have seen them all.
Yeah. Well, anyway, yeah. I was a big X-Men fan when I was like a teen. Yeah, like I wanted to be a
Well,
comic
that's what
book
it was
illustrator.
Actually. X-Men yeah. was the allegory was about you know, feeling like an outcast
it's,
in high
I've,
school.
I've
like,
literally,
I think they've literally said gay kids.
In that bed, I have had like post-coital conversations about this with people before.
Really?
People, with guys before, like about how like X-Men was an allegory for specifically homosexual
yeah, yeah.
kids because it was like
mutants.
Their power... Mutants, yeah. Because aren't we? Aren't we, though? Because their power would manifest itself... like at puberty, at the onset of puberty,
yeah.
You know, it was like a very specific, like it was a unique ability that was shunned by, like ostracized, marginalized by society. People were afraid of them. Like it was infectious, like the AIDS epidemic at the
yeah.
time. Well, still at the still with us, but like, you know, specifically at the time. And,
yeah.
But yeah, no, I wanted to be like a comic book illustrator when I was like 13. That was like what I was going to do.
Cool.
So.
Oh, you got a text? You got to go?
No, not at all. No. this is actually pertinent to like my ex pieces as well. Like a former piece of mine who I thought like died or went to jail or something just like added me on Facebook. So I was just messaging with another one of my friends being like, guess who's back in town? And I like screen capped.
Where
like,
was he?
Facebook.
In jail?
I don't know. He just disappeared for a while though.
Like, are you freaked?
Yeah. No.
What was the... Oh, okay. So it wasn't like it wasn't a... He's not... Well, you thought he might be in jail.
Like, it just... He just disappeared. Like,
okay,
there was all...
Okay, so it's like any possibility.
Every, you know, footprint just disappeared. Like, it was just like clean sheet of snow. No foot... You know, it was just like you couldn't
find
hide
out.
Nor a hair of him anywhere. And
you
then all of a sudden, it was just like, okay. And I suspected that he was a drug dealer, too. So that was...
So didn't anyway. I drop you off at this residence, like, after a gig one time? Maybe?
You drive?
Or maybe I was in the car with someone. Yeah, I do drive.
Okay.
But maybe it was someone else dropped us off, but they dropped you off first.
Yeah, I've lived here for like a long time.
Remember when Rob Ross and I went out partying with you?
Yes, we went to the best ass contest. We went to Heidi's.
That was Heidi Brandreth?
In The Village?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
But she was in Halifax?
She was probably in Halifax, and she didn't have a sublet in there at the time.
Oh, okay, because for some reason I had that in my head that that's where you lived.
No.
But then coming here, I remember, yeah, after like a Yucks gig.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, which would have been a treat.
Yeah, I had a... There was off. A young man's butt that I thought should have won the contest, and then I thought the contest
that.
Was rigged.
That was one of the more
We're talking about Woody's, like the... Is it the biggest gay bar in Toronto?
Yeah, like it's most venerable. It's like the gay Cheers. It would be like if you remember, like somewhere everybody knows your name. Yeah. It's like the watering hole, emphasis on hole. Oh my god! I'm like some like gay aunt from like the 70s or something. I feel like, but like when I say things like that, but like. Yeah, so it would be like the watering hole. It's not like a dance bar. It's like somewhere you would go to like stand or sit and have a drink.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And where socialize. Everybody knows your name. And there are like drag shows and stuff like
your
that.
Your friends were so but, nice. And it was such a fun party.
Yeah, no, and it was the best ass contest on Friday nights.
It was fixed.
Yeah, I remember you and Rob were very, very cross about that, and I was like, exactly.
But do you think straight guys like a different butt than gay guys? No, I don't think so.
No, I think we have pretty... I've been to, like, Hanlon's with, like, straight guys before, and, like, we've talked about butts, and we're on the pretty same page.
Yeah, I can tell that there's a type of man that's handsome, for sure.
Yeah. Well, it's more probably aspirational from your... point of view as a straight guy rather than tantalizing.
Yeah, I've said this before. I don't know if it's on this podcast or not, but I really look up to what's his name? Tom Hardy. But then I realize it's because I was like, oh, I have a man crush on this guy, but it's because I fucking want to be that
guy. You know, it's really interesting because when we were just talking about...
I've even looked it up that he's my height.
Really?
And he's a year older than me. So there's a part of me where it's like, ooh, I could still get that build. Now, if I work on it, there's no way.
Oh my god, it's terrifying when you actually compare notes like to that extent. But what's interesting that you just brought up is that, and we were talking about JFL earlier, the first time that we were there in 2013. I remember having this conversation with Graham Kay backstage, talking about how I think that somehow it came up of like why do gay men sort of like worship like powerful women, and I think the sort of
you
thing
think it's
that
an aspirational thing too.
Well, here's what I think. I think that everyone in their head has this sort of like. Icon of like strength, mm-hmm. and that's like what they sort of project themselves onto.
Yeah,
and so I remember having this conversation with him. It was just like, do you like if you're going into a situation, like, do you just have that like thing in your head, like, and that's what you're trying to project, like, you're projecting yourself onto that person, and that's what you're trying to project, like, to whatever circumstance you're in? And he said, yeah, and he said it would be like Don Draper. Like,
yeah.
From Mad Men. And I'm like, yeah, for me, it's like Whitney Houston in the video for It's Not Right, But It's Okay.
Yeah, and see, women. Ogle Don Draper, but they want to have sex with him. But men ogle him because they want to have that power. And like if I look at like, so sometimes when I think about the ancient Greeks or something, they were all about building the intellect as well as the body. Like, you weren't healthy if you didn't have both healthy body, healthy mind.
Well, it didn't turn out too well for them. So
no, they lost it after a while because they were too smart. They lost their barbaric roots, and then all those guys, like the Spartans, just ate them alive. But the thing is, if I watch like an ancient Greek warrior, and they're like super muscular, and they have a spear, and then I'm like, oh, that's fucking awesome. But like, I want that body. It's not like, but I don't in the million years want to have sex with that body. You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
It's weird.
Yeah,
but you're still a man idolizing another man's body.
I mean, there's like such
you're
a thing
still a man
being,
drooling over another man's body.
There's such a thing being like when I go on Instagram or whatever, I see like really ripped like Instagram models. I'm not attracted to that. Like, I'm not attracted to like
because you're attracted to like regular men.
Yeah,
well, that's like I'm not attracted to like these weird like blown up fake weird porn.
I actually really like one of my like massive like kind of like physical I guess infatuations is sort of like your body type where it's like. It's like kind of like deteriorated musculature, you know, like it's like, and I mean, this
nervous
is a compliment.
Bear.
No, because like I've seen you shirtless before. I'm just like, you would like have, you know, like cum dumpsters.
I'm working on
and
it.
And like, you know,
what's
but like you
dumpsters?
Also have like you have those divots You know, like those pubic mound
Jesus
sort of things.
Christ.
You know what I mean? And I'm just like, because you have like, you clearly have like a musculature that like existed, like an athletic sort of musculature that existed at one point that was like
excuse me, I'm still strong. I just have I just eat too much.
I'm sorry. I'm talking a little too like sort of empirically right now, and I'm not realizing I'm talking to an actual human being.
Yeah, you're judging like, if I should make it to the next level of evolution.
Anyway, but like no, it's just like, and it's sort of like it's sort of settled in. So I'm kind of like
maybe that's dad bod. Is that dad bod?
Yes, it is exactly part. Like it is.
Well, my last agent was or is a gay man, and he. I would complain about my belly getting bigger and stuff, and he would always assure me that I'm a bear, and a lot of men love that.
Yes.
That would make me feel a lot better.
Yeah, you definitely are, yeah.
And Kathleen likes my body this way. Maybe she's like, a gay man. I don't know.
It's like, you're married. You have a kid. Who cares?
No.
Like, you've won the race. Cool.
No. There's still a part, if we haven't even gotten to your YouTube
like,
video.
I was like thinking the other day, because like,
there's still a part though that like, I'm actually going to talk to my therapist about this because I think it's a branch of OCD, but I can't settle unless I'm like perfect. And clearly I'm not perfect intellectually or physically.
You are very preoccupied with when I found that out about you, I found it very unusual. Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously that's a psychosis from like basically probably my childhood or something. My parents judging me or whatever.
I listened to that Aaliyah Padani episode, and yeah, no, your mother sounds like a piece of work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like saying that you were like, because you wear a hat, that's why you like,
I'm bald.
Receded or I'm bald. Like.
And she told me I shouldn't wear a hat so much. And I'm like, you did? Okay.
That's not how it works, Mrs. Locke.
She'll never listen
you
to
could,
this.
You could tell fucking Mrs. Locke to give me a call and I'll school her about that. Because,
look, my mom is a very unique, insane person, but she means well. She's just like me. She doesn't think first. She just says everything.
I think you think first.
Well, she's worse than me then.
Yeah.
But like, she means well, but she she definitely built my neuroses since day one, and that is that I'm not good enough. So then
And that's why you do comedy, and that's why you're so brilliant at it.
I actually watched a speech or a talk by Marshall McLuhan from the 70s, like today before we came here for some reason. I was just watching it. And he said that the comic, he says the way he did endear himself to people, whether he was popular or not, was through comic behavior. Like he'd rip on them and make jokes, and then he'd start in disseminating his ideas into the conversations. But it is weird. But he said the comic is a person with a grievance. He's like, whether you're W.C. Fields or Rabelais, the comic performer is basically a registration of grievance. And I thought, that's so fucking cool, right? Because that's true. That is why we do it.
I mean, fundamentally. But then you can like, you know, all grievances are not created equal, and you know,
right.
Nor are they under the same umbrella. Like my,
well, that's what's happening now in comedy, is like people are looking for super specified grievances.
In my sort of estimation, when I started, in my estimation, based on every male comic that I've gotten to know, they all do it because of some really rupturing rejection, like a female rejection at some point. And that's, in my opinion, why so many of them treat women so shittily. It's just been like, even erstwhile, you know, studs, there's always been this like thing, and then they're constantly trying to wrestle power back from whatever, you know, ice queen sexually rejected them at some point.
Laughed at their dick.
And then, I do think, when you say grievance, I really do think it's all revenge. I think that everyone does comedy, like every comedian does comedy out of revenge. And I mean, that would certainly be.
What's your revenge? Small town?
Yeah, like bully, probably. Bullies? You know, I was really bullied, and which is with everything. Like
that
just,
brings me up to something interesting about you, since you just analyzed my body.
analyze mine. I mean, fuck. I hate mine too.
It's fine.
So
it's fine. one thing that is great about you, but also freaks me out, is you have a razor sharp, deadly poison tongue, and you can whip people to pieces with your tongue. And so I'm always like wondering, when is I'm scared of you sometimes. I'm wondering, when is Andrew gonna smash me to bits with his...
I think it's like just a fear that you have specifically. I've spoken with mutual friends of ours.
Who Sarah.
Think that, well, and it, yes.
Come on.
No, other people too. And
what?
Yeah.
Nick.
Yeah, no. No,
at the beach.
No, I'm not going to qualify this anymore. But yeah.
Thanks for breaking me down behind my back.
I don't know. Well, no, it's just I know that it's just like yeah, you think whatever, and I think that's just like specific with you because I think you know, I don't know. I think it all goes back. To
I'm that insecure
fucking,
about what people think yeah. of me for sure. But I mean, you're deadly. Thing, my, that well, doesn't my, mean that you're not who you are to me.
Because like what
I don't
you,
think that like I don't think a lot of my friends are going to be like, oh yeah, well this about you. I think you're that type of person. I think you could. I think you know how to drop the hammer on people, like size them up and then drop the hammer.
Well, I'm certainly not afraid of anything in this country. Like I'm not afraid of alienating anyone. Like
yeah, I know you did that
reason.
Article for now.
Well, I didn't think that I burned bridges in that per se.
No,
but
it was.
Like,
but a lot of people don't have the courage to do that.
Yeah. Well. Anyway.
And a lot of people think that way, and they should have the courage to do that. But
did
they
you
don't.
Read the comments on that?
No.
There was a comment from someone who was like very specific, like under the guise of
was?
Like a pseudonym. I'll tell you off record, whatever. But like there was like a comment from someone to be like, you didn't mention these people who are doing really well. And what about this guy? And I'm like, no one would mention that guy because you're that guy right now. Right?
Nah, that always
and
saying
something like, I'm bitter. And like, did it ever occur to me that the cream doesn't rise to the top? And I was like, let's leave your diet out of this, bitch. There's a hint of who it might have been. But anyway, but so. Anyway, it was like instead of burning bridges or whatever, I'm like, if anyone like after I like praise the Beaverton in 22 minutes, if anyone is like, anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
But no, I mean like,
we'll
yeah, I'm certainly not afraid of like the thing about here, like when you go to that Louis C.K. thing about like, you know, these women, you know, went along with, you know, him doing that because like they feared retribution justifiably from him and his manager, Dave Becky, who actually were people of consequence. Aside from Zoe Rabnett, there's no one of consequence in this guy. Like, or Sarah Fowley and Bill Lundy, honestly. Like, there's no one, and they're not creeps. You know, like, there's not, there's no one of consequence. I'm sorry. Like, there's not a, like, you know, I can call Mark Forward a cunt because, like, he's not of consequence to me. You know, like, it's just like, there is no gate that he is keeping that I am, like, waiting to get through. And I can, like, say that, you know.
But the origin of your razor sharp poison tongue comes from revenge in the small town. As
yeah,
a defense
I'm
mechanism.
Really, I'm really adverse to being bullied now.
Do you
if
have,
anyone tries,
do you
if anyone tries
any
to like, yeah, bully me,
time,
I really get fucking like, I
but you,
really get.
You do
in there,
have
yeah.
a, you do have a few that I know of, full time, constant allegiances that you probably wouldn't. Or is everyone? Is no one safe?
No. No, everyone's safe. Everyone's safe. I'm a safe space. No, it's not allegiances.
I'm a safe
Here's the
space.
Thing. You know, we
That's
were talking
gotta
about
be your fucking
I'm
album, next
space.
Album
yeah.
title.
Andrew Johnson is a safe space. No, it's not.
That's really good.
The thing of it is, and this is the very the difficult dichotomy with comedy is that you can really like people personally, and you can really not care for their comedy. And there are far and few between people who I really like. Personally, and I'm a fan of, and I would count myself a friend and a fan of yours.
Me too.
So,
me too.
Like, I'm a genuine, like, I will
I mean,
actually
versa,
watch
you know.
Your sets. Like, I don't watch people's sets. Like, yeah. I watch you. I want to see what you do. I want to see what Tim Gilbert's going to do. I want to see what Sarah's going to do. I want to see what Jack is going to do. I want to see what Isaac Marty Shops is going to do. I want to see, you know, like, anyone in Last Sabbath, basically. But, and tons of people beyond that. And so that's. Like, it's not allegiances, but it's just like, yes, one thing that I hate, and this is going back to that Now article, which, you know, if you haven't, just Google Andrew Johnson brain drain now if you want to read it. It's that people are just so cautious here. Like, it's like,
yeah, it's
you
brutal.
Can qualify things as being good or not good. And what I can't fucking stand, and like, Sarah is guilty of this. I'll be like, how is this? Oh, it was really fun, and I'm like, really?
But
you know, and it's just like and
maybe
no,
it's your
like,
influence, yeah. But I don't think so. But I find Sarah, one thing I admire about her as well as you is, Sarah does maybe not like maybe she's gentle about like shows and stuff or business stuff, but she, if people are pissing on her leg, she will tell them. Not to.
Oh, I know that. No,
I don't do that.
I know
though.
Who
I'm
like
fucking,
annoys her and stuff. But yeah. Well, okay, no, it's not just her. But I, okay,
that is
ever,
a Canadian
did
thing.
Did you ever watch Canadian Idol?
No.
Okay. on Canadian Idol. The
but Nathan wrote on it, and John Doerr was got to do some stuff on it.
Well, I'm glad
cool.
Nathan got a break. Anyway, so oh my god. Anyway, but so
I know the people that don't know you listening don't know the examples of what I'm talking of yet, unfortunately, because you haven't been super harsh on here yet about somebody. But
okay, well,
it's really
okay.
enjoyable
with Canadian Idol. I remember the judges in the later seasons, because they really like Canadianly shrunk away from getting booed when they offered criticism. They just like would just you know, like, deal in all of these superlatives. And I remember there was this guy, Jake Gold, who I don't even know who, like, the Paula Randy or Simon he was supposed to be, but he would constantly every fucking episode he would call at least half the lineup the real deal, and that was just so Canadian to me. And I'm just like, no, it wasn't. Yeah. That sucked. And so it's just like, if something is amazing, like, you've had amazing
Canadians
sets before,
are hyperbolic, like, with
yeah,
praise.
You've had amazing sets before where I've come up and I've said that was fucking amazing, and you can trust that, because I'm not gonna fucking come up and tell you that every time, you know.
Yeah,
I'm also
right.
not gonna fucking come up and volunteer like, you could have done better. I'm not gonna be like that, like, I'm
right.
not a sociopath, but like, yeah,
I know
no,
you
I just
mean.
When I'm talking about people, when they're like, how was that, yeah. I'm just like, not there yet, not great, you know, like, whatever. So
it is,
you know, I can say like, that wasn't
yeah,
that
yeah.
wasn't great, you know. And I like what I like, and I hate what I hate. I don't know,
I like that. No, I admire
I
that.
I think we all do, but it just,
I admire
know.
That. I know, but it's hard because
yeah.
we're scared, and I don't think we should be anymore. And you know what? That's one of the things I try to work on in the therapy right now, is not caring what hypothetical people think of me and all this stuff. It's really yeah. an exciting time for me.
Yeah. Well, I like to think that I don't.
I made it about
like
my therapy
well, no,
after
but, like,
all that.
I like to think that I don't care about what people think about me, but I think that I'm just kind of like delusional and thinking like, no one's saying anything about me, where I'm like, I know, well, see, I know they are. Like, one of the things, and I think like where we kind of maybe got off on the wrong foot like a long time ago,
but I don't think people talk, I don't say anything.
I'm sure the people just like see me as like some mincing fucking blabbering faggot, and they just like discount me for that, and I'm like, fine, go with that, bitch, but like, I'll bury you on stage.
Well, no one anyway, would but, ever say faggot, but,
sorry, I know, yeah, I'm sorry. 2018 resolution. Stop casually saying that.
I even feel like but, immensely guilty yeah. for saying it.
Yeah, well, and, you should. You can't say it,
oh,
but I
shit.
Can.
Oh,
anyway,
God.
But so, but like, I remember like in 2013 going to Homegrown
yeah.
and like Alex Pavone telling me like, buddy, you're not part of the equation. No one thinks that like you're in the like in the running or whatever. And so I remember like
no
that
way.
Really.
He
that
said that
would,
to you?
Yeah. I asked him, but like, so I don't know. So I just,
yeah, but
I'm sure people like think like people who don't really know me or like know what I'm about or whatever, like
oh,
they just
wow.
think that like maybe I'm like crackling energy on stage and that I just had a flukishly good set or whatever. And I'm sure that that's,
but I remember
like
you and I having fun in Big Glass at that time, and Graham, and we were like, we were having fun together.
Maybe we weren't.
I remember laughing. You remember it differently, I swear.
No, we were. We, didn't
we were nervous,
out.
And there were people
no
that
one hung out. Like, I remember we all got there 15 minutes before the show. We couldn't watch the show because of the space that was in.
Yeah.
We were like, there was like a dressing room in the basement, and then like you were walked to the stage when it was your set, and then you were like back down. And I mean, you know, there were people.
I don't know.
There were people who were on there that I didn't meet. Like, there were guys.
Yeah.
Like, out of nine of us, there
was one
guy
hiding
that
didn't talk to any of us.
You know?
But the rest of us that were sort of crowded around there, like, I remember eating the snacks and stuff. Like, I remember we were all laughing. I don't know. I'm like,
I probably wasn't
joking around.
But so that was like,
maybe you're in your head.
I was coming into that really thinking like, oh, I'll learn all of you motherfuckers. Okay, do you want to
this
hear
this is the biggest, longest introduction ever. This is 50 minutes in and we haven't talked about your utopia.
I have like just really short examples.
Let's get into it though.
Okay. I have an idea of what my utopia is and what my heaven is.
Cool.
So what is there?
Well, utopia could be like, it doesn't even have to be the planet Earth. It could be anything you want. You could be like, this is the place, the world that I would like to live in the most. This is what I would like it to
oh,
be
okay.
like. So you can build it from scratch. It could be your freaking heaven.
My like,
you know, I mean?
My philosophy.
Are you religious?
No.
But you still want to go to heaven.
Like the afterlife. I have an idea of what, if there is an afterlife, what I'd want it to be.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear that and then utopia, or utopia and then that?
I think maybe like for a unique twist, let's start with your afterlife.
My afterlife is very simple, and this is like what I really hope this is that when you die, you basically get to go to like a very comfortable place, like a lavish hotel suite or something, and you're given this like massive orb or crystal ball in which you're able to review every single juncture and path and decision you ever made. and it shows you why you made that and what would have happened if you didn't and why that would have been the wrong choice. So that you leave, like, your entire life justified.
But either way, yeah. So either way, it makes you feel
like why
it gives
why,
you closure yeah. on why, your
why,
decisions.
Yeah, why or why whatever every single bad thing that ever happened to you, it explains. Well, if this didn't happen, then this would have blah blah blah, blah, and like the butterfly effect or whatever. Why that would have had to happen? Why you needed to learn what you needed to learn to for whatever? And like, and then literally, however long it takes you to go through over every single thing like that, every single twist and turn, then you're able to sort of just like rest in peace.
Sort of like a fate explainer.
Sure.
Cool.
Yeah,
anyway, I like that.
That's like that's what my hope for the afterlife is.
But that,
and it would be nice to like see loved
but
ones.
But that afterlife could come after you die from your utopian world.
And then, yeah, okay. My utopia is just very simple. My utopia is, and I do think it's very attainable to achieve, and that is to outlaw hypocrisy. If you were to make hypocrisy illegal.
Ooh, which is good because this has basically been the topic for the last 30 minutes.
Yeah, sort of.
Right? Like the Canadian, we're all like, our behavior is hypocritical. If we're not acting on our what we're not saying what we want to think.
It's like if you were caught in, you know, like if you say something, if you express a point of view on the record and then you act differently, like in opposition to that point of view, that's illegal. And if that was the case, I really think that would be utopia.
Whoa, you know what?
What?
I feel like the world would be freaking savage. Don't you think?
I think it would be great.
But you would be basically pushed to act on your impulses.
No, I don't think it would be your impulses. It would be, I think the people would still govern their beliefs by popular opinion, basically. You know, like when you have, okay, like specifically if you have like an anti-gay politician or whatever, who is, you know, like fucking 17-year-old guys who he's like paying with, you know, with Doritos and then, you know, like voting for anti-gay legislation, like that would be, well, like fucking the 17-year-old would be illegal, I guess. But anyway, just like with just all politics and stuff, and like with climate change, that wouldn't be like, it'd just be like, you know, you say one thing and you do another. It's just like you say one thing, you do the same thing. I don't think it would be like, all right, fine. If it's illegal, I hate black people, you know, like, and I'm going to vote to jail more of them. Well, and then people won't vote.
Yeah, like, they'd be like, oh.
Yeah, it's just no, like popular opinion would govern.
Like,
whatever.
So Trudeau would be in jail.
For what?
Just the whole like environment.
Oh,
even stuff.
Like yeah. Okay. Yes, he would. Basically.
Yeah, he was. But, he acted illegally in your.
Yeah,
world.
But then like, see, those like companies wouldn't have.
But he could say that it was still my intentions to act that way, and he could blame it on outside, right? Because
well,
that's already
or
sort
maybe
of,
just be like more transparent. I don't like, or, you know, about like why we need to do this, because otherwise Alberta, you know, will be on like eating government cheese for the rest of their, you know, like, because it's my understanding that the whole like it just oil the economy out there would, if we just, you know, did away with it, like, you know, all those people would perish, you know. It's like, I know. I don't know. I don't. I really.
Hey, I didn't have a
I
fun time
follow.
The last time I was at the Laugh Shop.
Fuck yeah, right? Yeah, God. Yeah, Alberta can suck my dick.
We were in the museum the other day, the ROM with Amy. She's not even two yet. She's almost two, but she's loving it. You know, she's running around going, oh my gosh, you know. And I said to Kathleen, as a joke, people listening, but the only good thing that came out of Alberta was dinosaurs.
Aw, that is such a Chris Locke insight.
Really?
Yeah, that's like very on brand.
Oh, how? I think. Do you mean?
Just your fascinations, the phrasing, everything. I know I'm on a Facebook event page for something that I have no intention of going to.
As he's giving me a compliment, he's also perusing Facebook.
No, I'm not. No, I just it was open, and I just
wait. I don't even know if it's a compliment. On brand,
no, it is.
On brand is not a compliment.
Yes, it is.
I really like the no hypocrisy rule.
Yeah, maybe
it
it's
really
a little bit more complicated than I
thought. It is complicated,
that, but yeah.
Yeah, maybe because people say certain things and act different ways to keep the peace. But you don't care about peace that often.
I do. I just we're with Justin Trudeau. It would be like we're going to keep the oil fields because this is why, you know, and it's because hypocrisy is illegal. I can't lie to you.
Yeah,
I mean, we would not have Breitbart and Donald Trump. We wouldn't.
But
have
then
any
he
of
could
that.
Be. But then you could split into two different types of people, and you could sort of like we'd create this sort of thing where it's like We're keeping the old oil fields. I said I wanted to do this, and that part is true. So then you can start creating this, like, the person that I intended to be is still true, but I'm doing this because of reality. And so maybe, yeah, that would be the conflict, is that you just have this, like, two-faced versions of yourself still getting...
Well, I think, like, every
walking the tightrope.
You know, Trudeau is not alone. Like, every single politician campaigns on promises that they can't fulfill. And so it just...
In this utopia,
it would be like, that just wouldn't happen at all, you know? I'm even, like, looking at the really, like, micro level, like, just in every fucking day occurrences, you know? If it just... When people say something and then act... Like, when people are consciously, hypocritical... If that was just, like, illegal, you know, I don't know. Because I like to think that I'm not hypocritical, you know.
I guarantee you've hugged and kissed the cheek of someone you hate.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, maybe not hate. No, not hate. Like, it's not like I'm going to see, like, TJ Demers and, like, mwah, mwah, or whatever.
Do you hate him?
Well, you know, Jackie's a good friend of mine, and, you know.
Yeah, that was tough. Can't get into that. I don't feel like that's a thing to explain. On
yes,
this
maybe not. Yeah, but that's where my allegiance. If we're going back to allegiances,
okay.
But,
you want to hear my other Calgary dig? Because I had a rough time last time I was there.
Oh my god, you hate whole cities. You're
not usually, like, not usually. But I was on the phone with my friend after like two shows that I did not like at the club, and then I was walking through the mall, and I was in the Chapters, and I was like venting about it, and I was like, I have to get out of here. Their literature section is only three rows long. And then and when I was leaving, I said, Calgary is the only city where at Chapters bookstore, they also sell trucks. See, I knew you'd like that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't hate Calgary. I was just like mad that time.
I remember the only time that I've ever gotten walkouts was in Edmonton.
Calgary has a
And it wasn't even me doing like gay stuff. It was me doing like... stuff about like female anatomy, and that got like walkouts.
But that's the Edmonton Yucks.
Yeah,
I never did that club, but apparently it's like suburban, right? It's like,
yeah,
not
it's
even
in a casino.
Because I haven't played Edmonton yet, but there's a good art scene there. Apparently
like, yeah, downtown. Well, it's got all that government money. So I have a lot of friends from Edmonton actually, and like a lot of like cool, like in my like gay circle of friends, like a lot of just random, like a bunch of them are from Edmonton.
Yeah.
And they always exalt the virtues of YEG, but yeah, I'm like, my experience is based literally to that fucking sky, or like that LRT like line, which is just like, I remember seeing like posters on it being like, don't touch people. Like, there were just like posters that said like, touching people is wrong. Like, just these basic, like, garbage goes in the garbage bin.
This is like, hot topic from yesterday. Maybe you have a take on it. What do you think about what Catherine Deneuve said?
What did she say?
Oh, you don't know?
No.
I know gossip before you.
I don't speak French, though, so...
Well, yeah, I guess she said it, but her and 100... Because this is after the Golden Globes.
Yeah.
Her and 100 other, like, French women signed this petition, or this statement saying that there's a rise of puritanism or whatever going on right now, and men should be allowed to flirt with women. So she's being like...
So French.
I know. Isn't it funny?
Oh, God. French people are crazy.
She's like, of course, rape is illegal, but a man trying to kiss you on the cheek or touch your leg or something, like, you can...
Opening the door for you?
Yeah.
He's
That's what she says. She says being a gentleman.
Should be a gentleman. Oh, my God. French. I remember... Okay. You remember how, like, the Just for Laughs guy got, like,
the
fired?
Only critique I saw so far was a woman saying misogyny is so ingrained deep into her mind that she doesn't realize she's... Whatever. I don't know.
French
She's also
women.
Probably like 100
French
years
women
old
can,
now.
They can just go and have their baguettes and live their lives. here's my thing about...
Especially old French women.
I did randomly, I think it was like based off this like Now article, like for like a week I got like calls from like people being like, we're looking for an authority on comedy, and because you just did that, I'm like, all right, I'll enjoy this week. But so CBC like Montreal contacted me for like a statement about when Gilbert Rozon, the guy from Just for Laughs, like on the French side,
oh yeah, you got
the CEO,
yeah, yeah.
He got ousted because like all these women came forward with like
sexual
really
assault.
Explicit, but like, yeah, sexual assault, sexual harassment, like, and he got convicted of sexual assault back in 1998 and was fined $1,500 and like had to issue an apology because the judge said, well, if he was arrested and he was unable to travel, it would affect Montreal's economy. And like he got convicted of actually like sexual assault. Anyway, and so then she was asking me about that. And she was, because
that's like these days the kid will be like busted for sexual assault and they'll postpone his punishment until like his hockey tournament's done or something. Okay.
Yeah, well, like that Brock Turner kid.
Yeah. Who,
like,
oh, is my he God. The swimmer?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Well, at least he likely got like sexually assaulted on the daily when he was in there. He had a real purdy mouth, I'll tell you that much.
Oh my God. But yeah, so what'd you say to this evil radio anyway, station?
So she said, because what happened was the fact that he was permitted to be in there, there were a bunch of Quebecois comedians who were splintering off from JFL to make their own off JFL, like not even called off JFL, but like a sort of rival festival, which I was kind of like, well, it's probably people who couldn't get in the first place and whatever, God bless them. But she was like, so would English comedians consider like out of solidarity doing that? I'm like, no, we wouldn't. I'm like, as far as I'm concerned, the only person that you ever deal with from my standpoint is Zoe Ravnit, who is like the portrait of professionalism.
Yeah.
And also I was like, she's like, well, how is this perceived in English speaking, like in the English speaking comedy scene? I was like, I just think that we think Quebec is like a different world. Because I was like, and then what I said was just like, like Celine Dion and Renee Angelil getting together when she was 13 and he was like 38. I just assume that you guys have your own like standard of mores.
That's
and
amazing.
Stuff.
What did they
like,
say? Because
I think that's really weird. That's funny. Like, she was just taking notes, you know.
Yeah. Oh, is that another text about this?
No, it was my lawyer. Who was like asking me about payment.
Anyway, did your lawyer just hear this already?
I know, right? No, but like, so like I said that because I was just like, I just assume like whatever. So when, you know, Catherine Deneuve, who got, like, you know, based her entire career off of her, she's
sexuality.
In her like late 70s now, I think.
She's a great actress. Yeah. She's
and, you know, just, but, you know, French people are just, you know, I don't know. They've got a different grasp on that than you know, so I whatever, anyway, I don't know, whatever, I stand by what I said. I think it's really weird that Celine Dion and Renee Angelil got together when she was so young and he was so fucking old and no one batted an eye and they had a state funeral for him. So whatever,
he owned this like breakfast restaurant chain and
yes he did,
called Nichols or something.
That's right, I've been.
And then right after he died, I didn't know the connection, and I'm up on stage at like, I don't know, one of those clubs, and I'm like, what happened to Nichols, huh? I love that place. And they're like, sad. And they're like, it's Renee's, he died. And I'm like, whatever. Like, I didn't go, oh my God, I'm well, so sorry. I'm just like, doesn't matter.
Yeah, I know, he's very sainted.
You don't have to close down the restaurant.
You know, Celine Dion hasn't, you know, she didn't complain about it. But again, that's the sort of precedent that we're looking at when it's like, you know, French people. Anyway, I don't know. So
you gotta listen to, have you ever listened to Scott Thompson's episode of this podcast?
I haven't.
You will love how he talks about Canada in it.
How so?
He's unabashed, as you know. Like he talks about the same thing as you, about like people suppressing how they really want to feel and say.
He was one of the first people who shared my Now article, so I imagine that his views were in line.
He's
with
a
mine,
lovely, you know? Very lovely, supportive man.
I love him. No, he's really he's amazing.
I think
I love
you would
him.
Love that episode, but especially I will go just, and listen like, to it, you know, immediately. Fast forward yeah. to see what he says about Canada.
No, I'll listen to that immediately. I adore Scott Thompson. He's
because
been,
you guys have a similar stance, and I really admire that. And I agree with you.
He's like who is your like comedic icon? Like, who is like the person that you saw and it was like you thought comedy was possible for you?
Probably Bob Odenkirk.
Have you
watching
ever met
Mr.
him?
Show? Yeah, just briefly at Just yeah. Laughs. Yeah.
Because like Scott Thompson,
Scott Thompson
is that
and
for
all
me?
The kids in the hall were that yeah. for me too. Yeah. Like meeting him was
Scott
blew my
very
mind.
Specifically, I had never seen an out gay person doing comedy and like in the position of like, you know, ubiquity and power that he was in. And that yeah. was like, and like, I haven't just met Scott. Like I've had very active communications with him. And like that, yeah. I'm just like, it's a dream come true. Like I remember going to his Halloween party a few years ago and it was just like, thank you for inviting me. Oh, and there's fucking Leah Delaria. Jesus Christ. Like someone else who I like, you know,
yeah.
like was a very early, you know, like, oh, so
he told a crowd once that he wanted to have sex with me. And I really loved that. Of course.
I really love that.
Yeah, that's a great compliment. Yeah, he's a lovely man. But I just, the similarities with what you guys are saying about, basically you're saying like, stop being so suppressed, Canada, and stick
well,
up for yourself
and, you know, another
and
thing
say
was,
how you feel. Like, this is like, in a way, this is a utopian, yeah, it's all the themes have been all about like how you would like things to be. For sure.
Like another and like just about that now thing where it's just like, because like there were some people who had written like love letters to the Canadian industry, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, okay, am I crazy? And so then I wrote that. And then I remember it was just kind of like validating everyone, being like, no, it's not great here.
Yeah.
Like, it's not great here. It's impossible to make a fucking living. And I'm not like blaming this person or that person. It's like what happened is, you know, media, the media landscape changed. Like, did the digital age came in.
That's we been no helping longer a lot. But let me ask you this, not as like you're an authority, but as like a peer. What do you think about the idea that Canada is just so a ginormous and diverse, but still slow population, small population? That is a lot of the problem of the industry.
Oh,
we don't
so
have a lot of cities to travel to as stand-ups, especially ones that will get that are comedy savvy.
The pay grade.
There's about five comedy savvy cities in this.
I don't know if you've noticed, but the pay grade has really regressed. Like it's insane. 10 years ago,
but
I started.
Also,
I started like 10 years ago. You started like 15.
We can't make a show. Yeah, we can't make a show about Toronto centric stuff.
No.
Because the rest of the country will be mad at us because they'll think we're making a snobby show that talks down to them.
We wouldn't even get that far because we would never be given the keys to something because we're not a child of a legacy act.
Well, there's that too.
Like, that's like my father's
what's
not
happen when these yeah, children
my father
die?
Isn't Chevy Chase, so I'm not getting a show in Canada. Like that's how, like my father looks like Chevy Chase. Like he looked a lot like
you
him
should
in the
pitch 70s.
That. Yeah, I know, right? But
my,
no,
first of all, I just like to say that my father looks like Chevy Chase.
Yeah. Yeah, right. It's just like, so that's not gonna happen. And like, also, you pitched a million fucking things. Like, we're in the age now of like you needing to have like a basis for it, like an online basis for it that's already proved successful, or else forget it. Like, they're not ever in this country going to purchase anything on spec again. Whereas, like, how the fuck did like Buzz get made back in the day? You know, like
I actually asked
and Darren
about that,
and I love Darren. I love Darren.
Yeah, we all do. But like, I know what you mean. But it was like it was random. It was just some guys. But I think it was like Channel 10, wasn't it?
I don't know, but I
know. It started off at like.
They made a lot of fucking money from that. So.
Well, they saw him like he was basically a teen.
He was like a teen. He was one of those awesome teen comics that everyone loves.
I know.
I hate fucking teen comics. Have you seen Three Billboards over or outside Ebbing, Missouri?
Yeah, and.
You did?
We both saw it. Kathleen and I saw it in the theater, and we both have the same opinion of it, which is weird because it's different than how everyone else is talking about it. And
I didn't think it was like amazing, but I was like, here's the iconic moment from that was when the teen hurls the can of pop on her windshield, and she gets out and she goes up to like the aloof teen and she goes, "Hey, any idea who threw that can?" He's like, "Oh no!" And then she just kicks him in the balls.
Yeah.
And then she turns to the girl next to him, "Hey, darling, any idea who threw that can?" And she's like, "No." And then she just kicks her in the vagina and then turns to the other kid and he runs away. And I'm just like, "Yes."
Yeah.
Oh, that's the seminal moment, is kicking teens in their fucking balls. Ugh.
Yeah, each teen should experience that at least once to keep them in their place.
Well, just like that's the thing, because these teens, they just think they're going to be like just like accommodated, you know, and it's like, oh, you're just teens. It's like, no, rough teens up. That's my opinion.
Well, a lot of the comedians
make
that I'm loving,
afraid.
Like on that are like blow, like just doing great these days, they're fucking almost 15 years younger than me now. And we're all doing the same shows,
troubling.
And I'm like, you guys are awesome. But here's the thing about Three Billboards. The acting's all amazing. Frances McDormand, obviously. Woody, and I loved Sam Rockwell was incredible. But there's weird story things that don't make sense
in the movie.
It didn't
have an ending. I was like,
it didn't have an ending, but also like Sam Rockwell never got in trouble for throwing that guy out the window onto the street.
Yeah, I know.
And I couldn't get past that.
They didn't convict her of throwing the Molotov cocktails. It was like, come on now.
I couldn't get past those kind of holes in the...
Well, and then the end, it was just like, are we going to go and kill this guy in Idaho? And it's like, ugh.
But
anyways, I'm sorry, we just spoiled in the entirety of... Like,
it's been out for a while, and it's been nominated for Golden Globe. You guys got to... If you haven't seen it yet, you suck. Sorry about that.
Here, let's get back to...
But let me just say what Kathleen's critique was. No, I don't even care.
No,
it's,
what was it?
It's just because the guy is like a lovable, the Irish director, right, who did In Bruges.
Martin McDonagh, yeah.
And, but she said, so it seemed more like it would have, if it was done in a more quaint Irish town, some of those aspects would have been sold a bit better. But because he made it American, it seemed weird.
Yeah, you know, you're probably right.
Not me, Kathleen.
Or
genius.
She's probably right, Kathleen Phillips. Kay Phillips is probably right. Kay Phillips Locke.
Sharp brain.
But yeah, no, Canada, like, I just want to go back. Like, the pay grade is worse than it was. Like, it's not like, like.
So your utopian world would not be Canada. Let's just say that.
Oh, what it would look like? It would look like Hanlon's Point. That's what it would look like. That's like,
so
the
Hanlon's Point is the new beach in Toronto.
It's clothing optional beach.
Clothing optional.
Have you ever been?
No, but Nick Flanagan always asks people to go.
Yeah, well, yes.
But I think he just wants to see everyone nude.
But that's not going to happen. Like, it's not... Like, clothing
and
optional
Nick, if
means,
you're listening, you know
clothing
it.
Clothing optional means you could be, like, literally wearing a snowsuit or you could be wearing, like, nothing at all. And, like, there's every shade in between that. And it's
look,
like,
I'll be honest. I do not... And I do not have a micro penis. But I have a penis that gets worried. Does that make sense? I don't... I'm not sure how it would look. On but a, like, nude beach.
So here's what
it
would
could
happen.
Look great. It you, could look nervous.
You would not. You would option to wear clothing there, probably, wouldn't you?
You know, like, the statue of David.
Yes.
You know, they're always like, his penis is small.
Yes.
He's nervous. He's worried. Nude and someone's sculpting
yeah.
him.
Well, anyway. See, the thing about that, like, it's just, there's a vibe there that once you experience, you're like, oh, I get it. Like, there's just a vibe there. It's the
if
only
I had a
place...
huge honker that slapped against my yeah. knees, I would do it.
See, and that's not even, like...
All
that,
I want to do yeah. is be in good shape and be nude all the time.
Yeah. It's...
That's the problem with nude beaches.
The vibe
I'm
of
a huge
Hanlon's,
proponent
the,
for a nude beach,
the reason
but I'm
that
not
I
ready
love
to go.
Hanlon's, like, I love, you know, like, I just, the landscape and everything. I love how it's, like, adjacent to the city. Like, I can get down to the ferry docks 25 minutes door
I'm
to
sorry,
door
I just realized I'm arguing against your utopian world
well,
because
anyway,
of my own insecurity.
But the thing, the big selling point that I would say yeah. about Hanlon's is you go there and there's just immediately this, like, chill party vibe. It's the only place that I've been in Toronto where, like, you can actually talk to strangers. And, like, everyone thinks, oh, because they're naked and they want to fuck. No, it's like, there's just this vibe that comes over where it's like, you know, in Toronto, if you ever talk to a stranger, there's this real sort of vibe of, what do you want from me? Like, what do you want? Like, what do you want? You know, like, right. I always find that. Like, I'm always like, everything is just like, what do you
so
want from me? What
idea,
are you trying to impose on me?
Just the vibe and, of yeah. clothing optional creates a sort of, like, communal utopia.
It's just, and it's not, it's not specifically the clothing optional. I think it's just the people who are attracted by that and begin, there's no kids there. Sorry. Sorry, Phillips Locke family. but like, yeah, so, like, that's another thing is that it's a very, like, adult. Be it's just oh there's it's like Bellwoods but like just no pretense, you know, and like
right
more it's like it's utopian it
so in a way
utopian.
Your utopian world would be like it would also be full of the type of people that Hanlon's Point draws out.
Yes.
And
like,
there's
I've made,
probably not a lot of
yeah, yeah I've made genuine friends at like I've made like legit
but do you walk
friends.
Around nude?
No.
Are you insecure about your penis in the nature nude air?
I have, generally,
no one,
if I'm like...
Here's
if,
one thing that I think is hypocritical about the society, is we're so quote-unquote progressive, so much stuff is still so taboo with everyone. I think people should be honest about their true fears. I think I talked about this in the Aaliyah one, too, is like talking about the real, like, do you have an... You know, a penis that on a cold day or if you're nervous around someone would
yes
you would be like
yes the answer would be yes no I'm not like always I'm not always like I don't always
I'm
have
not
like
laughing
a,
at your I, penis well, no, I'm laughing at
I don't always have
the beauty of the freedom of being able to express
like
that.
I don't have like a folded out ball sack and like a fucking like you know no I mean like of course like you know yeah. I'm definitely a grower but like you know no like it I've optioned to not wear clothing when I'm like outnumbered. That's like,
yeah.
So like, it's been a few times, but like, no, I'm not a practicing naturist.
But at a nude beach, I hope listeners,
but I know some,
I hope listeners have made it this far in the podcast.
And then, you know,
this
you,
is the, this yeah, is the meat.
You honestly like
no
forget
intended.
About it after like 10 minutes.
But do you see other men's penises?
Yes.
And go, oh, I'm fine.
You will. And and you will see other men's penises and be like, yes, I, okay.
Okay.
Like, yeah,
I get
if you
it.
Had like a like
but
a,
that's like
a
the why. That's
dong.
Like the change
yeah.
room at the Y. There are men that have like huge dongs that are nude all the time. There are men that are showering in their shorts.
Sure. Yes, it's exactly like that. Except also, I don't know, like there's...
It's like the men's change room of the Y outside.
And like the women's change room at the
Y.
And
women go, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There will be some like times where you'll be there and there will just be this preponderance of naked women. And I'm just like, well, God, this is a waste of my time. Well, no, but like, no.
The reason why I'm asking
I'm
so
just like,
much.
Well, these ladies should feel safe today. Jesus. Yeah, no, I mean, there's a reel of ages,
shapes,
sizes,
everything. So are there
sizes,
shaved vaginas, hairy vaginas?
You know, I look at them like I look at a tree. Like, I'm just like, I don't really
But you look at penises.
I'm more prone to, I would say, yes.
So at a nude beach... Like, you would gander at a penis.
There are like as a, the times
which, as a
really,
which is weird, yeah. Because at a gay, so it's like you're, you know, as a gay man, you get, and I, yes, I'm saying get to ogle what you want.
Yes, you could.
So
yes.
As a straight man, I don't think I would get to ogle what I want at a nude beach. That's the difference.
Well, if you were by yourself, no. Yeah. Like, yeah. If you were by yourself, there would be some people being like keeping tabs on you for
right,
sure.
Right.
Yeah. I've seen people like beaten up for like having cameras and stuff. Yeah.
Oh my God.
There's quite
that's
a community.
Great.
There's
no,
quite
that's
a community.
It, but
yeah.
No, that's the community
yeah.
you're talking about.
Yeah. But
the community of yeah. beating strangers up.
No, regarding dicks at Hanlon's. Like, it will be the occasional time where there's, like, a big surprise penis. Like, I remember once Blaine yeah. Smith and I were there, and it was just, like, there was this, like, I don't know, he looked like an
was
Israeli
his,
guy.
Was he nude? Had,
yes.
Does he have a tattoo on his penis?
Blaine's tatted everywhere, yeah.
That's why I brought, so you, yeah. if you guys don't know, local comedian Blaine Smith has yeah. tattoos everywhere. It's, so.
Yeah, Blaine's, like, Blaine looks like Ewan McGregor in The Pillow Book, if you've ever seen that. Movie.
I don't know.
And it's great. It's a work of art. He's like walking art. But so Blaine, we're like sitting there with some other people too. And there was this like really like skinny, like looked like really malnourished guy behind us. And it just like all of a sudden, like his shorts came off and he had like a fucking 10 inch flaccid. It was fucking insane.
What do you
it was
do
just
with
like,
that thing?
Jesus Christ. And so it was just like, Blaine's like, I love a surprise penis. And it's just like, yeah, we're just like, so it's just like, so something like that. It's more
Did
of just
you guys
like,
gasp?
It's
more, yeah, could we, he hear you gasp?
We nervously laughed. It was that big. Like it was
confusingly
large. No, he was like far enough. But no, I mean, but
I hear
that
very, very
for...
skinny men usually have long dongs.
Well, I don't know about that, but like
maybe because it's
that,
like their fat drips
that
into
instance,
their dong.
Like I don't want like to color like
I'm
you know
sorry,
the Hanlon's like that
that's...
would be like 5% of the time there. You know, yeah. And like people always ask too, like if you see boners. I think I've seen like 4 boners, and I've been there like 50 times. You know, like
are they embarrassed by their boner or do they walk around with pride?
Generally, yeah.
Peacock around with
yeah.
their boner?
Well, not peacock around, but like they're not like ooh, like they're not like
see that
they're not like grabbing a towel.
You know what? Oh, this is the best topic for Utopia because these are all brand new rules that are like weirdly segregated from the rest of society. We experiment I don't yet, but experiment with public nudity rules in like these little segregated
I can't tell
areas.
You, like I know like what
secluded
how you're
areas.
Feeling about it because I didn't go for years because of the same sort of like ooh, you know, like you'd go there once and you'd be like, this is really not a big deal and this is really enjoyable. You have like some
well, a lot of Europe some, like, is like that, right?
Yeah, like yeah. you have like some beers, you have some snacks. It's just, it's the best.
North
the
America
best.
Is very repressed.
Yeah.
Sexual. Well, about
well, and
sexual,
Toronto is too. Like, I'm amazed
not just
that
sexuality,
Hanlon's,
but nudity.
Yeah. Hanlon's exists in Toronto because, like, Toronto, you see, like, people
Toronto's
there, and I'm like,
conservative
this
than
is
it.
Really bizarre. Like, yeah. you people don't live in, like, none of us live in Toronto if we're here. You know, it's, like, weird anyway. But,
yeah.
Yeah. But,
yeah, we're sheltered in artsy communities. But Toronto yeah. is, like, pretty.
It's pretty, yeah.
Pretty regular.
Well, Canada's pretty conservative.
Yeah.
People don't, like, it's, like, very, like, low-key kind of, like, yeah, like, not silently conservative, but, like, it's mm-hmm. very discreetly conservative, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, you know, it's rather irreligious, which
yeah,
is good.
We don't you know, have, like, the Westboro Baptist Church.
No. Well, really, we couldn't because we have hate crime laws in place that would prevent, you know, they would all be jailed, like, their
yeah.
first protest. But
we have weird stuff in pockets of rural areas of the country,
oh, well,
for sure.
Yeah, like, whenever, I don't know if you ever talk to Americans about this, like, but when, you know, I don't know if Americans ever fucking ask you this because I don't know if Americans ever ask you personal fucking questions about yourself. That's not something that they're known for, but...
They don't care.
Yeah, but, like, because they're just like, oh, would, like, something like... I'm like... when they talk about like conservatives in Canada, I'm like, yeah, there is like a religious area, but it is so small compared to the rest of the country.
Yeah.
Because it's like Alberta is our Texas, but it's like we don't have like an Arkansas and like a Oklahoma. And, you know, it's just like we just have one like very one state where that would play well, like an evangelical thing, like, you know, let's pray that we get elected or whatever. Whereas that in Ontario, people would be like aghast at that, you know?
Yeah.
And so anyway.
Yeah, we're very lucky. Again, that probably has to do with the density of the
population. We're lucky
population.
In that regard. I always say, yeah, like Canada. No, people don't understand. We have no media. We have no media. We have no entertainment industry. There is no path forward. Like, there's going to be for you and for Kathleen, and you're going to be two of the lucky
few. I don't
few,
know.
You know, but there's
I don't know.
Not,
you never know.
Every
day is, like, still nerve-wracking.
Well, anyway, yeah, tell me about it.
Well, you're leaving.
I am. And then I'm always like, and if and when that goes bust, I'll move back here and use 1% of my brain and go into advertising. Because fuck, like these commercial auditions that you go on, Jesus Christ, some of them I'm like,
I could do that.
100 monkeys with 100 typewriters. Jesus Christ, shit, fuck. Like,
this was very enjoyable.
It was so enjoyable.
I'm really glad we hit that big nude beach chunk because that's a huge.
Sure.
Because. I don't know if we've talked about public nudity on this podcast.
Okay. Well,
but it is a
what else would you like to know about it?
But you said your utopian world would basically be like Hanlon's Point.
The closest
and to me that is like,
atmosphere or environment that I've been to that is utopian is Hanlon's.
Because the topic of like being nude around strangers but not,
and it is cool, like when the few times that I've sort of like done it, you just forget about it after 10 minutes and it's just like you're just kind of like, honestly, it's like really like expedient. You know, you just don't need to worry about anything.
It's good because it ties into the whole Adam and Eve thing. Like, apparently, they were in paradise
until they were
which was like a utopia. But
Eve
they were
had the fruit, and then she became aware of her nakedness.
Yeah, and Adam was like, "I like it."
Yeah, and when it's just sort of like if the Bible
Adam
preaches
sounded
that, it's
like Nick Flanagan.
You're saying that
I
basically,
like
and so then we live our lives. Yeah, I know, Nick. It's cool. Yeah, I like it.
You look good.
Oh my God, that's exactly what he would say to Eve. That's exactly what Adam and Nick and Eve would sound like. Oh my God.
Thank it's
God
not God Adam and Eve, it's Nick and Eve. I would love that if he like had a show based on that or something. But yeah, this was great. Is there, yeah, any like wrap up? This is a long episode, but it's nice because it's hearty. I mean, we got to like, you know, we got to know you in for 50 minutes.
And, you know, you and I don't, like, ever get to hang, so we always have lots to say to each other,
it was really enjoyable.
So, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, we talk at shows and stuff, but, yeah, with the and on the road sometimes. But any wrap-up points about the utopia?
No,
or
just that's what my idea of the afterlife is. My idea of utopia is hypocrisy being illegal. However, you know, that's obviously a little bit more complicated than it sounds. And some broad strokes maybe need to be feathered out on that. And go to Hanlon's. I'm a big proponent for Hanlon's. Everyone thinks that it's going to be this. It's not going to be. It's going to be that. It's like it's just so like Emma Hunter came this summer and was just like, oh my God, what have I done with my life? Like, it's just like,
really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And it's not daunting. It's not going to be, you're thinking it's going to be, you're going to be like walking in and it's just going to be 1,000 completely nude people and you, and you're going to be like,
well, look, sometimes my dick looks great. I would get nude if it was like in the mood and it was hanging down there flopping without insecurities. It's a flip of the coin, to be honest.
You know, well, you should put that on your to-do list then. But you should definitely, you should go. You should just go and be like, you could even, you know, Kath and you and Amy, there's like a clothing mandatory part of the beach too that like has more like children and stuff at it. But there are very few children. Sometimes there are children. That's the actual.
That'd be so funny. Or like we get a nanny and we're like, thanks so much. We're going to a nude beach. That's
I remember
why.
Once there was like this encampment of like naturist families around us. And there were all these like nude teens. And we were like, no, that was the one day that I was like, I'm going to go. I gotta go. Like, yeah, this is like,
oh my God, yeah, that's
no nude teens, no,
that's uncomfortable for a myriad of reasons.
Francis McDormand showed up and kicked them all in the dick and vaginas respectively. Oh, anyway, but yeah, no, I'm a big proponent for Hanlon's. I'd really like every like that. It is the best thing the city has to offer, I think, besides Comedy Bar.
Very nice. Anything to promote coming up?
When is this being posted?
Friday.
I'm hosting Laugh Sabbath next week. So on the 18th. I don't know what I'm doing for it yet.
Yeah, Laugh Sabbath every Thursday. at the Comedy Bar Cabaret Space, 9 o'clock, 9:30.
You know what it is.
I never know if like it's technically 9, but starts at 9:30. But it's technically 9:30.
Mine start pretty close to 9:30.
Yeah,
I'm pretty like
gotta be sharp. But they're always sold out.
No, they're not.
What? Oh,
no, they're not.
Do I always go to the good ones?
I think you do.
Oh well,
yeah,
I'm lucky.
You must.
Well, Laugh Sabbath. Yeah, Andrew hosts. What week of the month?
I generally host. It's supposed to be me and Sarah the last Thursday of
the
month.
Last Thursday.
But like, I'm switching it because I'm going to the East Coast on the 25th. So I need to do a little switcheroo with Jackie.
Nice. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
It was a blast. All right, everyone. That was Andrew Johnson. Andrew, thanks so much for coming on and chatting and having a good, fun time. That was great. And thanks for the tea. And yeah, that was so very interesting. Andrew's Utopia was mostly Hanlon's Point in Toronto, which makes sense. Very nice sounding free place. Follow Andrew at _AndrewJohnson on Twitter to find out more about his stand-up and comedy and shows coming up, Laugh Sabbath and the annual Bitch Salad. Plus, he's moving to L.A., so go to L.A. and look out for him there. If you're there, look out for him. He's coming to get you. And follow us at Utopia to Me. And send us messages. Remember, you want to send me a message of what you think the end game for climate change is, what's going to happen to us, and if you want. And then also follow me, man, at Chris Locke Fun. I'm putting this out today, Friday, the 12th, I believe, of January. So if you're in St. Catharines, Ontario, or any surrounding places like that, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Niagara Falls, Welland, whatever, and you want to see me do comedy, I'm at Showtime Comedy this weekend, tonight and tomorrow night. But other than that, I got to wrap it up because I actually got to get on the road to go do that. And thanks so much for listening. This was a good one. It was fun. And it was a long, nice, hearty one. And there we go. We're off. So thanks again. And get outside there and bundle up and stay warm and dry. But, you know, do whatever you want. Just look at a tree. Pet the tree. Look up at it. Give it a kiss. Give a tree a kiss right on its bark. Thanks. Bye. We'll be right back.